As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome aboard The Athletic's Can't Wait Jets podcast, your nonstop shop for all things Jets with Tim McMaster, Zach Rosenblatt, and Marissa Dunn.
Can't wait.
Hey, Jets fans, welcome into another edition of Can't Wait Podcast. Tim McMaster here, along with Zach Rosenblatt, our Jets reporter at The Athletic, and Marissa Dunn, our producer. We lied. We said we were going to be back with you last week on Thursday, and then the Jets didn't do anything between when we recorded early in the week and Thursday. So we kind of waited, and then we said, we'll just go early next week. And then sure enough, Tyron Smith on Friday.
And Morgan Moses happened too.
So we're going to get all into the offensive line, which amazingly, as we hit the Ides of March, is complete. The offensive line is in place. I didn't see a world where that was going to happen pre-draft, but we'll get into that and a lot of other stuff on this edition. Sadly, I have to report that Marissa and Zach are no longer friends with Connor Hughes. I don't know where
sadly,
I stand.
Is that really honest, a sad thing?
Celebratory.
Included in this, but I think, did you guys say he said you're dead to him?
Right? I actually just pulled up the text.
Marissa was dead to him than I was, but yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. It was sent to both of us. The text said dead to me, like Tiki to Saquon. A poem of 2024.
Because I reported that a certain Browns offensive lineman resigned with the Browns on a one-year deal, and Connor was very upset that he did not get that scoop. So yes. Marissa did not give it to me for what it's worth. Marissa did
right,
not.
Right, that's what I was going to say. Connor assumed that Marissa was the leak. Mm-hmm. And she,
everyone assumed that I was the lead.
Yeah, they did.
I was
but
not.
What they don't know is that I actually told you that it was through before you even knew, actually.
Yeah.
Yes. So we were waiting for the contract to come over. And, the reporter that Zach is, he just got the info first and texted me. And I was like, wait, what? So, Michael is going back to Cleveland. We are going back to Cleveland. We're very excited. But there was no, I don't play favorites. I love you all the same. I did have to text Connor and make that very clear because he was clearly hurt. It was just
normally I would have reported that, but because I obviously know you guys really well, you're like, Michael's freaking out. Wait until it's like official.
Yes. So I said like, wait, Michael wants to make sure he's got the contract in hand over here. And then meanwhile, Connor thinks, we're conspiring against him. Which,
normally we are. Yeah.
Yeah. Not normally here, we yeah. are. So that, can't blame him. But that was pretty, pretty comical. He even texted Michael. He was like, what the heck? We've played golf together. So it was nice little good humor for a stressful time that was, before Michael had signed. So.
Congratulations to the
yes.
Dunn family
Thank
overall,
you.
Though.
Yes, very,
very exciting.
Excited.
Back to the Browns. We are again sad that he won't be playing for the Jets. But
Yes.
Every year we try to push Joe Douglas in that direction.
Yeah, I don't know. Joe was doing a lot of other O-line.
He was too focused on Tyron Smith for some reason.
Yeah, he had his mind on the tackles. So
Should we? I feel like we should start with the news of the day. Then we'll get into obviously the big signing, Tyron Smith, and all of that. But when you think about the news this week and players who haven't signed but are visiting the Jets, Mike Williams, obviously longtime Charger, visiting the Jets, the wide receiver, and also Jadeveon Clowney, coming off a great year with the Ravens, a year where he really didn't make a lot of money. He's going to look to cash in, and we'll see. We'll talk about whether or not the Jets can squeeze one or both of those guys in. But let's start with Mike Williams, because there was some food waiting for him, right? And Taylor Delgado dropped this in the chat already. just wanted to know if he ate the pork roll, egg, and cheese, Zach.
I have not heard via kind of sources whether he's eaten it yet. But so NYJ Matt, who's, you know, one of the funniest guys on Jets Twitter, gives me a lot of crap, but I can't. I mean, he had one of the best jokes about me falling asleep last week. But he sent a screenshot of a DoorDash order that he said to one Jets drive of a pork roll, egg and cheese, or Taylor ham, depending on what you call it, I guess.
It's pork roll, but
yeah. sent that to the Jets facility to get there when Mike Williams arrived at the facility, which I believe he is this morning. He's probably there right now, meeting with coaches and all the people and the medical staff and stuff like that. And the Jets like play along with it. They tweeted a photo of the bag of the arrival, and you know, it's just a fun little Jets Twitter bit that's going to live. If he signs, I think NYJ Matt's going to get some credit, and he might deserve it. I mean, that's a pretty good, you know, if you're going to give somebody the most Jersey thing you can, that would be near the top of the list. So, totally. Yeah, it's funny. It's really good.
Sounds like a good endorsement for him if he does sign. You know, all the local bagel shops really should try and get him to sponsor their sandwiches.
Yeah, and I think he's going to Carolina next, and he might visit Pittsburgh. I don't know. I guess Carolina would be barbecue. I'd rather take the bacon, pork roll, and cheese. And then Pittsburgh, I guess they're known for their, I forget what that place is called, with the sandwiches or whatever.
No, with the fries, and the sandwich.
I still take the bagel. So, you know, if you're just basing it on food that they're giving him at the facility, then I think NYJ Matt wins in a landslide. So,
yeah, good luck. I give the Jets credit for going along with it. A lot of teams would have just taken that bag and thrown it in the trash. So credit the social media team for jumping in there and letting the story live.
I wonder if they're actually going to hand him this bagel, or if they're going to eat it themselves. Like, do we know? Will we see the next step of this? Or will he be like, why are you handing me a bagel? Like, it could, I don't know. It could go a lot of ways.
Maybe it'll be on one Jets drive.
Yeah. I was about to say, maybe like if they sign Mike Williams, that'll be a part of the one Jets drive thing. I wouldn't put it past them. They do a great job of that stuff. In terms of Mike Williams stuff, which we should talk about, like the actual football side of things.
Oh, what do you mean? There's football sandwich, not the sandwich.
I mean, I could talk about bagels all day. I love a good bagel. Egg bagel is my favorite. Everything egg is really good. It's a place
everything,
in South Jersey.
I'm in everything.
There's a place in South Jersey that does an egg raisin bagel, which I really like. But yeah, I'm always egg
raisin.
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah, it's good.
Interesting.
But egg bagels have always been my go-to for sure.
And when pre-celiac, I used to love an egg bagel, egg and everything. So
when I was younger, I liked chocolate chip bagels, but now they're like even too sweet for me, probably for like a breakfast.
Yeah, yeah. Same. But I used to be a blueberry bagel guy, which is not the
blueberries
a
good real bagel. Blueberries good. Like, I was a late
that was
arriver
before I lived in New York though, and I didn't understand what a good bagel was.
So yeah.
You know,
that was
you
like might, a Dunkin' blueberry, right, Tim? From up
yeah,
in
exactly. which is basically bread with blueberries in it. You just don't understand until you move here.
Yes.
What oh, totally. Bagel is. Oh, yeah. Well, it's the water. That's what they always say.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
But the biggest education I had about New York, New Jersey, North Jersey, like bagel culture, is that some people order it scooped out, which I didn't know was a thing. And I saw somebody order that once, and I'm like, why are you wasting so much of the bagel?
What's the point?
It's like a thing. Like my girlfriend does that sometimes.
Well, it's a calorie thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I get it. It's healthier, but like just have bread at that point, you know?
Yeah, no, I feel like that's a, you know, sacrilegious to the bagel.
Yeah, the sanctity of the bagel.
Although coming from the celiac girl that can't eat them.
Oh, yeah,
so
that's tough.
I'm part of the group, but
I love
I'll have a nice
so
gluten-free
much.
Bagel. So
yeah,
one thing my girlfriend introduced me to is emergency bagels, where you just freeze a bunch. And then if you feel like you need one, you just have one in the freezer ready to go. And we don't have any in our new apartment yet. So that's a very important thing we need to add here.
We used to do that growing up.
How do you defrost the frozen bagel?
I'll throw it in the microwave for very short amount of time, just to like defrost a little bit, then do the toaster.
Toaster. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause you don't want it to get that like really chewy stretchiness that the microwave. Anyway, good bagel talk.
Taylor Delgado said this is the best sidetrack the podcast has ever been on. That's a real high compliment, honestly.
Yeah,
we went on some crazy sidetracks long before I was here. Obviously, there was a lot of golf. So
yeah.
Well, everyone bagel talk greater than golf talk is the conclusion.
That's agreed. Facts.
Mike Williams.
But back to Mike Williams.
Yes,
and,
yes.
You know, talk about both these guys.
Yeah.
Is there room for the Jets to squeeze them in now? Because I think the salary cap money is kind of starting to dry up a little bit. And what price could they afford?
Yeah. So Mike Williams, they're both kind of fascinating in different ways. Mike Williams obviously tore his ACL last year, so there is a lot of risk attached to him. He had some injury issues throughout his career. When he's healthy, I think he's like a perfect complement to Garrett Wilson. He's down the field threat. He's tall. He's good. He can be good in the red zone. I think he started to get better in other aspects of his route tree. I talked to Daniel Popper about that, who covers the Chargers. We thought maybe they would try and figure out a trade, but I think Mike Williams is like $20 million cap. It was just untenable, especially for a Jets team that's not really trying to spend a lot of money this offseason. So it makes a lot of sense. He's a guy that 2 years ago, before free agency, like everything that was out there was that the Jets were going to go all out for him. They were going to offer him even more than I think the Chargers paid him, which was 3 years, $60 million. He only lasted 2 years of the deal. Like, the Jets really wanted him that year. The Chargers signed him before free agency, so he wasn't available. And now he's available. There's a lot more risk attached, but that's kind of where the Jets are shopping in free agency. They're shopping for these guys where you load it up with incentives. I mean, Javon Kinlaw's contract was all fully guaranteed, but like a lot of these contracts have been very incentive-based. If you look at Tyrod, if you look at John Simpson, Tyron Smith, who we're going to get into because his contract's fascinating. So Mike Williams like falls into that boat. Like, he's talent-wise, he's worth the risk, but it is risk because depending on how much you're paying, if you're paying a guy that is coming off an ACL, you don't know how he's going to look coming off the ACL. He's a down-the-field guy, so, you know, coming off an ACL, guys often don't have their explosion right away. He's not a running back, so it's a little different than like Breece, but he's the best fit out of the available wide receivers, I think. And so I think they absolutely should sign him if they can. You just don't want to give him a lot of guarantees. So I talked to Brad Spielberger from PFF. He's like their salary cap expert. He's accurately predicted like most of the contracts this offseason. It's pretty wild. He told me he thinks like 1 year, $8 million, and then you could earn more with incentives. And I think that makes a lot of sense. And that's something the Jets would be game to. I can't imagine they would want to do a multi-year deal unless they really believe Mike Williams is going to be fine. But yeah, so I think they have a legit shot at him. They have legit interest. It's just a matter of what his price is going to be. And if they let him leave the building to visit the Panthers and the Steelers, and if that happens, you know, the Panthers might be willing to pay more money. And I think the Steelers probably would too. The Jets are kind of shopping in bargain territory with incentives. It worked out with Tyron Smith even more than they expected, but, you know, the Panthers are throwing around a lot of money right now to get a better team around Bryce Young. So it kind of depends on what he wants. I think out of those three teams, the Jets probably on paper have the best team. Like, so if he's looking at like contender or whatever, I get it. Steelers are the most consistent. And then the Panthers are like a rebuilding team where you can make a lot of money. So it's going to be interesting to see how that market plays out. I do think they have a legit shot at him. And then Jadeveon Clowney, as you mentioned last year, he was on the Browns 2 years ago, right? Wasn't that his previous team?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah. He was on the Browns. I think he was pretty banged up that last year in Cleveland. And then, so he had to take like a prove it deal with the Ravens. And then he statistically had his best year of his career. He had 9.5 sacks. He had his most pressures of his career, his highest pressure rate, his highest pass rush win rate. He's a good run stopper. He's always been known for that. And the sacks have like come and gone, but he's coming off a great year, and all of a sudden, edge rusher like feels like a need after they lost Bryce Huff, which I feel like maybe wasn't emphasized enough as we were going into the offseason. Like, unless you really believe that Will McDonald is just going to fill the 10 sacks you're losing from Bryce Huff, which is high expectations for him, pursuing somebody like Jadeveon makes sense at the right price. Again, it all comes down to that. Like, if he's looking for $10 million or more, which maybe he earned, I don't know. I don't know that the Jets are going to do that. But if they want to do a contract again, that's like incentive based, where if he gets to 9 sacks again, maybe he gets to a certain ridiculous number or whatever it is. And so, yeah, I think it's a legit possibility. He visited the Panthers as well. I imagine there's some interest from some contenders who need pass rushers. He's not someone who's ever going to rush it. I don't think he'll go to the best spot for him. So yeah, I'd say there's definite interest, and there's a possibility he can land both. Like you said, the cap situation, the cap hit on Tyron Smith's contract hasn't hit yet. Solomon Thomas, I think, is 1 year, $3 million. So I think they're going to be around like $10 million in cap space after everything's factored in, which isn't a lot. So if you're going to go and sign two more guys in addition to having to fit your draft class, and if they go and get a backup running back or whatever it is, like, you're going to have to restructure some deals. And they've been avoiding that as much as possible. I think it was since our last one that CJ Mosley did his new deal, where it's 2 years, $17 million, basically chopping the cap hit this year in half and spreading it out over 2 years, to where he's locked in for 2 years now, essentially, for a guy that was never going to leave. So the other cap contracts, they can restructure Quinnen, restructure Quincy. I would say JFM is a candidate for restructure, and you could extend DJ Reed, kind of all the stuff I've been talking about all offseason. So there are options for them. If they get somebody to take Zach Wilson, that's another $5 million. But so they need to do some cap gymnastics, but they can sign Mike Williams and Jadeveon Clowney. Am I ready to predict they'll get both of them? No, but I do think they get at least one of them.
Yeah, that's and you mentioned Mosley. Amazing that this guy that signed, obviously, the big free agent deal, injury the first year, opts out for COVID the second year. At that point, to imagine that he'd be signing another deal with the Jets to stay longer is incredible. But he's
Mike McCagnan. He knew what he was doing. Yeah.
he knew.
DJ Gig just had a comment about if they don't get Mike Williams, what happens, which I feel like is a good conversation point too. They obviously need a number two wide receiver. I think they need a number three as well. Tyler Boyd would still make sense. His market seems to not have been as big maybe as he expected, because he's still lingering. I've said since the beginning, I think he's a great choice. I think he fits really well here. I think they would talk to Odell Beckham. I think that, again, would be an incentive-laden deal. They wouldn't sign him to the contract he signed with the Ravens last year. So it depends on if Odell's willing to take like a significant pay cut. And so I think Boyd, Williams, and Odell are like the three to keep an eye on, and with Mike Williams being the top target right now. And then if you don't get any of the three of them, I mean, you're in really good position in a very strong wide receiver class to go and get a guy at number 10, if not move up. Or you sign like a more low-key veteran like a Marquez Valdes-Scantling or Michael Thomas or Josh Reynolds, and then you also draft somebody either in the first or third round. So they have options. None of them are like superstars, but I think Mike Williams is the number one target right now.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The wide receiver class. Yeah. I mean, obviously everybody talks about Harrison Jr., but I mean, where they're picking... I love Adunze. I don't know if he would last to there, but you know, just watching him late in the year in the playoff run with Washington, he was always open. It's one of the things you look for.
Those top three receivers, I think, are all like wide receiver. This is like the Justin Jefferson class that had like a bunch of like studs. Yeah. Like, I think this is at that level. These three guys, and Brian Thomas from LSU has a lot of people who really, really like him. Someone just brought this up in the chat that Daniel Jeremiah had a mock today, and he's usually pretty on point with his mocks, by the way. He had the Jets trading all the way up to 5 to get Marvin Harrison Jr. with like four quarterbacks going the top four, which I think is really possible if the Vikings trade up. I think the Jets would absolutely explore that if Marvin Harrison kept falling. What would it take to get from 10 to 5 is the big question. I looked at the Jimmy Johnson trade value chart. It would take a second round pick, like in terms of like the value, like of the actual draft picks, the Jets don't have a second, so it'd have to be next year. I don't know if that's enough, because you're looking at a guy that people are saying is going to be a wide receiver one the minute he steps on an NFL field. It may be one of the best receivers in the NFL right away. Former Garrett Wilson teammate, by the way. I'd say maybe that, either like a second round next year, and then, you know, either your third and fourth this year and maybe another future pick, or you trade your first next year to move up to number five. And if you're really all in on this year, I think there's a case to be made for that. Maybe some people will be unhappy, but the goal is to get stars in your building, and you're getting a star on a rookie deal for at least 5 years with Garrett Wilson, who's due for a new contract in a year or two. So you're protecting yourself in a way too. So I would absolutely trade a first next year to go and get Marvin Harrison. Would Joe Douglas do that? I don't know. Maybe. We'll see. We haven't really seen him make that kind of a splash to move up. He's traded back and gotten some picks. So I'm very curious to see how this plays out. So yeah, I don't know. If the top four are quarterbacks, like, it's legit possible the next three are wide receivers too, because that's like what this class is. And there's a debate to be made about whether they should still draft an offensive tackle. And I think that's on the table. But if you can get one of these three receivers, I 100% do it.
It's wild that suddenly now the conversation is quarterbacks could go one through four, because Harrison was like locked into that number three pick for a while, whether it would be the Patriots taking him or them trading back and somebody else coming up to get him. The quarterbacks going one through four is fascinating, because year after year now we're learning what a crapshoot it is drafting these quarterbacks. And you know, at some point, you feel like teams should just see who falls to them rather than giving up draft capital, moving up to get one of these quarterbacks that, who knows? I mean, look at Mac Jones, look at Zach Wilson, look, you know, all Justin Fields, like that draft class that was supposed to be so good. And basically you have one starting quarterback out of the mix now, right now. It's, whew, man.
I was just going to say, Dane Brugler tweeted this morning, 6 weeks ago, I was told this was a hot take. Now J.J. McCarthy making it out of the top eight feels like a long shot.
And J.J. McCarthy, like, he obviously led Michigan to the national title and he was a big part of it. He wasn't necessarily asked to do very much.
Yeah,
but, I know he's the leader. I know he has the physical tools, but it's just interesting. I do think he has the intangibles that will make him a good starting, you know, NFL quarterback. Probably it's from everything you read about, like the work he puts in, the film room, all that stuff. It's just wild that now they're talking about him going as high as he is. Cause I was seeing him on the field, I was always thinking second round pick.
When he doesn't have like the physical stature or the athleticism of like a guy that you'd think would like be a locked in, but it seems like he's just beloved around the league. He just feels like such a giant to me, because he's a, he just feels like a guy that the Giants would love and will be kind of underwhelming. And if he goes six to the Giants, it's the same spot they got Daniel Jones to. So it's so perfect. I'm kind of with you. And I actually really like Michael Penix from Washington.
Yeah.
I haven't watched these guys.
And he was
like,
great at the combine,
as much as,
right?
Like the experts, but he was great at the combine. He's athletic. I think he's got a great head on his shoulders. I'm intrigued by him. Bo Nix is liked by some. He's a little older, the Jets were at the Oregon Pro Day and somebody watching him specifically, and Jets fans were like up in arms about it. So it seems like Jets fans do not want Bo Nix.
Well, Bo Nix played 5 years, right? Because of COVID.
Yeah. He's like 25 years old or something like that.
But
too.
Penix is older too. Cause he had the injury, not 25 though, but he had the injury, but quarterbacks play till they're 40 now. So I wouldn't be concerned about a 25 year old.
No, I mean, if you're good, you're good. Yeah.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say is, like, to the point of like trading up, I think the Bears are in an amazing position, because they're plugging in Caleb Williams to a roster that looks really good to me. Like, they've done a great job this offseason. Their defense.
What a trade. Really, really good.
Yeah. What is your take on that? I mean, what a weekend, right?
Yeah. Like, it looks genius, because Bryce Young didn't work out either. So the Bears are in great. But the point I was about to make is, like, if you're like a quarterback away and you feel like there's a quarterback here that can like help you right now. Like, I feel like when the Eagles traded for Carson Wentz, they felt like they were pretty close to being a winner. The Bears have Caleb Williams in the bit. Like, if I'm like the Vikings, like, I don't know that I want to trade all my assets to move up unless you 100% are like sure that like Jaden Daniels is going to be a star, which nobody knows this stuff. You have to take the swings. Like, I get it. Those are the kind of trades that like lose people jobs. They've worked out for the 49ers because they're 49ers, but usually when you trade up and it doesn't work out, like everybody gets fired.
Well, the 49ers managed to make Mr. Irrelevant. That's yeah. what made out. You know what I mean? If you don't,
well, now he has the best contract in the NFL. If you think about it,
yeah,
he has he's like a stud.
He's making nothing
on Mr. Irrelevant salary. Yeah. For like 2 months.
That
more
won't
years
be for too much longer. I mean,
no.
But yeah, that's how you make up for blowing the number three pick is mm-hmm. you take
you make the Super Bowl twice since you do it or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right. Should we shift to the offensive line? The complete in-place offensive line. Amazing. Left tackle, Tyron Smith. Left guard, John Simpson. Center, Joe Tippmann. Right guard, Elijah Vera Tucker. Right tackle, Morgan Moses. All of that done before the draft, which really does make the Jets draft fascinating because they could go in so many directions now. It was just this assumption that they had to get a receiver or an offensive lineman somewhere. Now you still want to get an offensive lineman, like you mentioned, but you can probably take one later and develop them, hopefully, instead of this. But let's start with Tyron Smith, the offensive line gem of this free agent class. There were no rumblings about this, Zach. It just kind of happened. I give credit to Joe Douglas and company for just striking without the rumors getting out there.
Well, I'd say the rumors didn't get out there because the Jets didn't think they were getting him. Like that is a legitimate thing. I know fans don't want to believe that, but like it was that night that it happened because the Jets gave him this offer, $6.5 million guaranteed with like incentives to where, so if he plays 70% of the snaps, which he did last year, he gets another $5.75 million. So if that's the case, he's still around $11 million. And in order to get the full $20 million, he'd have to play in every game. The Jets would have to make the Super Bowl, and he'd make the Pro Bowl, and he'd still only be the ninth highest paid offensive tackle at that point. So, like, obviously, there's a lot of risk involved with him, but the way they structure the contract, there really isn't risk, in my opinion, because if he doesn't play, then you're not
the
really
only risk
him very
is your
much.
Offensive line. Being
yeah,
bad.
Well, that's why they need a better swing tackle than Carter Warren, unless they really, really think that guy's going to be a stud, which they might. They need to have a backup plan, but like he wasn't. Tyron Smith wasn't their like. A plan because they didn't think they ever had a shot at him because they thought he was going to get like 15 to 20 million a year or what, like an actual 15 to 20 a year. And then he comes into the Jets the day they signed and they said, we're going to take your deal kind of thing. So I think the Jets did not see this coming. And that's why it kind of blindsided a lot of people around the league, blindsided the Jets even to a degree because they're operating in a place where they can only sign guys to these incentive laden deals or like deals where you're spreading out the cap hit over a number of years because they don't have a lot of cap space and they don't have, you know, they're not as willing to spend the cash up front as they normally are in the offseason. They've been kind of like shopping in the bargain bin. So, you know, Joe Douglas, you know, kept checking in. He did a good job with this. Keep in mind of what Tyron Smith's market was or wasn't. And I think the fact that Tyron Smith took this deal, which is a very, very team friendly deal, like by every stretch of the imagination, the Jets won this deal. So I think it's pretty clear that Tyron either had no interest or he wasn't getting the sort of offers that he felt were worth it. Like maybe it was kind of similar and the Jets are a team he views he could win on. The Cowboys clearly don't want to bring him back at this price, which is crazy because what he's done for them. And that also says something about what the league thinks about the risk of signing a guy in Tyron Smith who, you know, barely practiced last year in order to get through the season. He's missed 37 games over the last 4 years. Like all the risks that everybody knows. You have to do a practice plan to get him through the year. You have to bank on him missing some games this year, which is why they need to get another tackle. I think if he plays 13 games and he's available for the playoffs, that's you'll live with that. But you know, this is a risk the Jets had to take. The fact that it was available to them, like he's the best possible left tackle you can get. You know, the other options weren't that appealing, frankly. Like Trent Brown is still available. He's more of a right tackle, and They had some other guys that were kind of like middling. And you're adding like a guy who made the, who was an all pro last year. So you're adding an all pro caliber left tackle. People have been pushing back a little on, you said it and I've said it too, like that they completed their line. We're not saying like they're done making their offensive line. We think they've completed their starting five. They have their left tackle. They have their, they have their left guard, John Simpson, who
a starting five that we, that had two pieces.
Yeah, you know, exactly. 2 weeks ago. Yeah. Which I don't think, like getting three new starters in a week is pretty impressive. Whether that works out, we'll see. But like John Simpson is a guy, again, there's some slight risk attached in that he's a little inexperienced and I think he's penalty prone, but I think he's an upgrade over Lakin Tomlinson ultimately, even if it's not a significant one. You have Joe Tippmann, who should be better at center. You have Elijah Vera Tucker now locking in at right guard where he's going to stay. They're not going to move him around. And then you have Morgan Moses at right tackle, who, like we said, that happened after our last pod. Not much new to add there other than didn't expect him to be available because he's only $5.5 million this year. Like that's perfectly reasonable. And they basically did it the trade back in the fourth round. And he's a massive upgrade at right tackle. They were an absolute disaster at right tackle last year. First Mekhi in week one, and then you're rotating through Max Mitchell, Billy Turner, Carter Warren, and I think there were some other guys that got snaps there. Like it was a mess at right tackle last year. And that was from training camp. Like it was like that in the very beginning. So their starting five looks solid. Maybe it's not the best in the league, but it looks like a solid five. I think they should go and get a veteran swing tackle. Someone mentioned Josh Jones. I'm intrigued by him. Michael Dunn did, actually. Not the other Michael Dunn, the podcast one. There's Cam Fleming. He's a guy. He's been a solid swing tackle in the NFL. I mean, David Bakhtiari is still out there if he wants to, like, rehab with the Jets. Like, people have joked, you should be able to get seven. If you can get 17 games at left tackle out of Bakhtiari combined with Tyron Smith, then you feel pretty good about that.
Yeah.
Like if he's willing to
take
that
signing would make more sense.
Now it makes sense.
It kind of lets him to rehab with the Jets for a year ultimately, or and then play if he has to. But
yeah,
if his plan is to play this year, maybe he wants to go somewhere else. But and I know he's been pretty open about hating MetLife Turf too, which is notable. But,
I mean, I don't know a player that's not open.
Yeah.
So
I tweeted a list of some like other swing tackle options. There are some veterans out there. I would not rule out drafting a tackle at 10, whether it's Joe Ault, if he falls that far, Olufoshanu, Talisi Fuaga. I think they're all in right now. They probably prefer to have somebody who can play this year because you had Will McDonald last year, didn't contribute. Like, I think that preference is to have somebody who can help you win this year, but they are in a position where they can do the best player available, especially if they sign Mike Williams now. So I mean, it's a home run ultimately. Like I get all the risk, but there's not really a downside here other than, okay, if Tyron doesn't make it through the season, but you protected yourself with that contract. So if you can get a starting caliber backup there or a rookie you're really high on, then I think you are in really good shape. So I don't have anything bad to say about this signing. I get that. Obviously it's a red flag that nobody else in the league was willing to pay him this. But you get a guy like this when he's available, because guys like this don't usually come available, and he's available because of the injuries. But it's a risk the Jets had to take ultimately, because you're not going to get a guy of this caliber, and they're probably going to have to settle for somebody that's either a rookie and not maybe not ready to be good right away, or you're going to settle for, you know, kind of a middling veteran. So I Joe Douglas hit this one out of the park.
There's just the Jets anxiety factor here, I think.
Of course, yeah.
Is part of it. There's just like, if something could go wrong, it will go wrong. So why take a risk on a risky player? Because it makes it more likely that go wrong. I think that's where it comes from. But I mean, I'm with you. It's a great signing. So the other signings we haven't touched on since our last pod, we had Greg Zuerlein last pod, MVP one. MVP two also signed now. Thomas Morstead will be back. So the kicking game is there. Lucky Fotu is there. Did I say that right? That's amazing.
Yeah, I think so. Lucky Fotu. Okay. Yeah.
They get him at defensive tackle, Solomon Thomas, defensive end. So Isaiah Oliver, cornerback, leadership guy. Obviously, they don't need a starting cornerback, but injuries happen, and you have a guy there who's a well-respected guy. So I don't know if you want to dive into any of those players that kind of round out what they've done in free agency.
You know, it's all just like role players, pretty much. We covered the O-linemen, which were the big ones. They re-signed Solomon Thomas. He's a rotational guy. Quentin Jefferson, they had a chance to bring back $3.6 million for 1 year. He went to the Browns. The Jets didn't like match the offer in time. So he went to Cleveland. I think they would have liked
him. I'm excited about that because he's a Terp. So him and Michael played.
He's a great locker room guy too. Michael will like him a lot.
Well, Michael and him played in college together.
Oh, they played together. Oh, I didn't. Yeah. I would have brought that up to him in the locker room. I didn't realize that. Oh, yeah. Man.
Way back in college.
I did not realize that. Man, that's poor reporting job by me.
To see him join.
That's awesome. Now, he's a good dude, and he played really well for them. I frankly think there's an argument to be made paying Quentin Jefferson half of what Kinlaw got, but I think the Jets are very high on Kinlaw. Oliver, like you said, he's just a depth guy. So I don't really have a lot to add on most of these signings. It's more like what they do next that's the most fascinating to me. And Fotu is like a run stopper, by the way. He'll fill the Al Woods role, I would say.
Bryce Hall gone, Jordan Whitehead gone. They go together to the Bucks. The one other thing we haven't touched on, I think, is special teams players. Ashton Davis still out there, Justin Hardy, both those guys testing the market. Obviously, they're guys the Jets, I think, really like, but the question is money, of course, and what they get offered elsewhere. But will either of those guys come back to the Jets before signing, letting the Jets kind of match?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. I'd say Hardy probably would. I'm not as sure about Ashton because I think Ashton's goal is to be a starter if he can. Mm-hmm. And so the coaching staff has been operating as if they're not bringing Ashton Davis back as of right now. I mean, he's still available almost a week into free agency being officially started. And I haven't really heard any buzz about teams being interested necessarily. I think he's got, some upside to him because he played his best last year. And I think he still has the athleticism to be like an intriguing player for a while. I would bring him back if I was the Jets. They still need another safety. They have Chuck Clark and Tony Adams right now, solid duo, but they can add another guy in there. And I think Ashton will be a good one. My guess is as of now that he doesn't come back, but it's not completely ruled out. And same thing with Hardy. I think he's exploring his market. I don't know how much the Jets are willing to pay him, but he's, I'm sure Brant Boyer is going to stand on the table to bring him back. And if they don't bring him back and they don't bring Ashton back, you're losing really two really key special teams guys. And I think they'd like to keep that unit together. So something to keep an eye on. I don't have a great feel for if both of them are going to come back or not. I'd say Hardy probably more likely, but I didn't get the impression that he's like a lock to come back either.
Hardy was a guy, obviously, when he first came to the Jets was a big deal because it was just kind of a sign that this team was spending on special teams. And they've shown it with Boyer's team. They've been good on special teams with him. So anything else before we say goodbye?
Anything else? Did we miss anything? I feel like we didn't hit that Rodgers VP, I guess. Did that happen since last time? I don't know.
No, we didn't. You know what? That's another reason we didn't do another show last week, because we would have been forced to talk about the possibility of the Jets starting quarterback running for vice president. Now it sounds like that is not a thing. It sounds like it.
We have to prepare Kennedy's for the possibility it still happens, maybe, but the announcement is next Tuesday while I'll be in Orlando for the owners' meetings. We'll probably do a pod from Orlando, I would think, because there'll be stuff to talk about. So it sounds like he won't be the VP. I'm fascinated to see what Robert Saleh
will be running say about VP. It. Let's just, he was not going to be the VP.
Touche. I never thought, I literally had to have a meeting with editors and some other people the other day. And when I told my girlfriend that, she's like, do you ever think you'd be saying those words out loud that you had to have a meeting about Aaron Rodgers possibly running for vice president? Nope. It's just kind of like my life now. So, Rodgers hasn't commented on it yet, which is notable. He could have gone on McAfee by now. We'll see if he does. But as of now, the Jets quarterback will not also be running for vice president. So we can just focus on football, hopefully.
It's a great way to end it, I think.
Yeah, that'll do it. Thanks for joining us. Zach mentioned it next week, owners meeting. So we'll probably check back in at some point to see what's going on there. Sometimes fun stuff comes out of there. But thank you for tuning in to the Can't Wait podcast. It's been a surprisingly exciting free agent stretch for the New York Jets, for sure. We'll talk to everybody soon.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.